Turn please to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 in God's providence. My voice was better yesterday. So I'm going to try to save voice just a little bit, not read the entire chapter. You know, I think that's normally a good thing to do. It's kind of a weird thing just to read a few verses normally of God's Word and then go on a half hour with teaching that's really ultimately, well, you know, it's man's Word. We should be giving more time to reading and hearing God's Word directly as well as the teaching of it. But because my voice is weak today, I just want to read from verses 27 through 33. We read here Jesus speaking, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." May God bless to us the reading, hearing, and preaching of his word today. This is kind of concluding a section in this long-ish speech by Jesus Christ. And just to remind you, and also to help someone who may be tuning into this sermon over the internet without listening to anything else, just out of any context, this is in a chapter where Jesus is speaking to his specially 12 chosen disciples, 12 students of his many. There were many who were following him. And he is specially sending them out. And this is where they are first called apostles, which is from the Greek word meaning sent out. And he is telling them of their duties. He is telling them of what will happen, good and difficult as well, to have them prepared, to have them braced, to have them ready, you see. And so this is near the end of this section where he's talking about the difficulties that they will have, but not to fear. We just saw that last week. We just read that now in very much the immediate context. And then he is saying, basically, you're going to be tempted to say, "I don't know Jesus. I don't have anything to do with them." Don't do that. Don't do that. No, rather, claim your allegiance with me no matter what happens. I'll bless that. The one who turns away from me, things aren't going to be good. So let's look at this. In verse 32, he speaks of confessing himself. And in verse 33, the denial of himself. We'll take these up quickly. I don't know that I can go all that long on this. We shall see once again how my voice holds out. We have a promise and a warning here, and both are directly relevant to what Jesus had said about not fearing. Now, as we read there in verse 32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." What does it mean to confess Jesus? Or, as it is literally in the Greek, what is it to confess in Jesus? Because there are two different words there, to confess in him. What's this mean? We think sometimes of a confession in our modern secular legal courts as an admission of guilt. And you declare, "I'm guilty." You know, it may be that someone who has done a crime before the police says, "Yeah, I did it. I'm guilty." And then they go into the courtroom, and there the judge says, "What do you plead?" "Guilty, I did it." That's what we think of as a confession. That is not what Jesus is talking about here. This is a different meaning of the same word. What he's talking about here is when someone asks, "Do you belong to Jesus Christ?" Yes. Yes, I belong to Jesus Christ. Do you know there are consequences for that? Yes. Wonderful consequences for that. But it's not merely to call Jesus Lord or to do things in his name for a time. If we go back in Matthew's Gospel to chapter 7, we read about, in the Sermon on the Mount, people that did that. In verse 21, Jesus speaks of them, Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You see, they may take for a time the name of Jesus. They may for a time claim the name of Jesus. They may for a time do some outwardly even spectacular things. You know, when Jesus sent out the 12, when Jesus later on sent out the 70, what were they doing? They were doing what Jesus told them to do. They went out and they healed the sick, they cleansed the lepers, they raised the dead, they cast out demons. Do you remember? They came back and they were ecstatic. They were doing all these things, and Jesus said, "Don't rejoice in what you did. Rejoice in that your names are written in heaven." But among those who did these things was the last one mentioned here in verse 4. The last team of two, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. He said, "Lord, Lord," he did wonderful things, but he did not confess in Jesus Christ. What is it then? It is to be living in Jesus. It is to have a living relation in Jesus. It is to be in him, as Jesus spoke of the night of his betrayal in John chapter 15, where he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches, abide. Exist, continue in me." That is what it is to be confessing in Jesus Christ, to have a living, to have a permanent relation with him, to be in him, to be joined to him, or as our theologians would say, to be in union and communion with him. Paul, later on here in chapter 10, let me find it here, verses 9 and 10, speaks of this. It's not merely a confessing with the mouth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it is a heart commitment to Jesus Christ, a heart commitment to serve him, a heart commitment to glorify him, a heart commitment to stick to him, even as he has promised he will stick to us. All this is involved in this confessing in the resurrected Jesus Christ. To have him as Lord of all your life, above all and any earthly allegiance. To believe this way implies some things. If you really are confessing in Jesus, you have been brought by the kind work of the Spirit of God to realize your radical sin. You have been brought to see that you, left to yourself, are apart from God, and you have no inheritance in Him. You've been brought to see your desperate need for a rescue from the judgment of the Holy God. But graciously, you have heard the gospel. In God's kindness, you have been able to look to Him, to look unto Jesus. In God's mercy, you have been allowed to understand what even the great and ancient philosophers had no clue about, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. And in the grace of God, the triune God, you have cried out to Jesus to save you, a miserable sinner, to save you, a guilty sinner, to save you, a polluted sinner, and you have been saved. You've seen that Jesus is the one given by God to do rescue for sinners, to rescue you. He is the one who has called sinners to come to Him. And He is the one who confesses in you. For the same construction is used here in the second part of this verse. Therefore, whoever confesses in me, it would be literally in the Greek, before men, him I will also confess in before my Father who is in heaven. For you see, if you are in Jesus Christ, you now do have this living relationship. Paul calls it a relationship like the body to the head. All right? So this fingertip here is connected. Not only is it connected to my brain, to my head, but my head to the finger as well. Right? And it's the same with your body and your head. Jesus confesses in us. To quote from the Song of Solomon, we are our beloved's, as well as He being ours. We are His, loved by Him, precious to Him, held by Him. He is glad to call us His own. He is glad to call us His children. He is glad, He is proud to call us His beloved bride. He is not ashamed of us. He confesses us before the Father. Here am I, and the children with me. We sometimes sing from Psalm 40. He gave His life for His people. Here is an appropriate time for me to ask this. Are you in Jesus Christ? Have you yielded your life to Him? Or are you being like Judas, just kind of going through outward motions and looking good, but serving yourself? Are you confessing in Him? If not, how can you? It's simple. It's simple. If you see the need, if suddenly you're saying, I am a sinner, what can I do? How can I be right with God? Go to Jesus, for He accepts sinners. Again, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Do you see yourself as a terrible sinner? You're just the kind of person Jesus came to save. Go to Him. Don't think He'll refuse you. He will not cast you out. Go. go to him, cry out to him, and you will be able to, you will be enabled to confess in him. Because with the new life you will have, you'll now be rescued, you'll now be redeemed, you'll now be the one or a one who is able to confess in Jesus. You will now speak of him before people you know or even people you don't know. You will live for him according to the standard of his word. You will seek his glory, and Jesus guarantees you'll keep on going. You may have hard times. You may have difficulties, strange providences, difficulties that happen to other people as well. And you may have intense opposition from those who hate Jesus, and because you're in him, hate you too. But Jesus will enable you to keep on going. He will hold on to you. No one can take you out of his hand. And you can't jump out either, as I've heard some people foolishly say. No, because Jesus says in John chapter 6, all that the Father has given me shall come unto me. And he who comes unto me, I will never cast out. All that the Father has given to me, I will raise up. I will raise up at the last day. That is the guarantee. Even in the midst of ridicule, even in the midst of persecution, Jesus will uphold you if you are in him. Now, I can't say that you will go on perfectly without stumbling. One of the men who was being talked to here was Peter. And at a crucial time, he outwardly denied Jesus Christ. At the time of Jesus' betrayal, he denied Jesus Christ. After boldly saying, boastfully saying, all others may leave, but I will never. How wonderful that Jesus was praying for him already. He was held. He was kept. But it was a grief. A terrible grief. There are others who stumble, and badly. Any sin, of course, is a denial of Jesus Christ. Any sin that a believer commits. And sometimes there are those who are dedicated to God, who are signed and sealed to the covenant of grace. They stumble and stumble badly and for a long time before God rescues them. We could think in the Old Testament of King David. We could think for a long time, of his descendant, King Manasseh. Bad stumbling. But Jesus rescued them. Jesus rescued them. He brought them, returned them to confessing in him. So, here's a promise and guarantee for Jesus, from Jesus. He who by grace confesses in him shall find that before the judgment throne of the Father, Jesus confesses in him. This one is mine, Father. This one is one of them who has had your love set upon them from eternity. Here is one for whom I went to earth. Here is one for whom I lived. Here is one for whom I suffered and died. Here is one for whom I have been resurrected and now ascended before you. Here is one who has been loved by us, by me, the one living and true God in our three persons from eternity to eternity. This one is ours. That is what you shall hear. Jesus confessing you to your amazement, confessing even you. And he will deliver you from judgment, vindicate you as God's own child, despite all the slanders and the disrespect and all the lies told about you. You should be confessed before the throne of God. Now, what about those who deny? But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. These are those who persistently go out and deny. Sometimes we can't tell the difference between those who are temporarily and those who are permanently. They themselves can't tell. There's only one way to be knowing that you're in Jesus Christ, and that is to be in Jesus Christ. You cannot say, oh, well, I've fallen off for a while, I'll come back later. You don't know that. It is only by the grace of God that such a thing can happen. It is not in your ability. So with this is a warning, and we've seen it in action before. These are people who don't merely stumble, like Peter, but they run away for safety from Jesus. They seek their own will and pleasure. They want the world's respect. They want the world's applause. They want to be thought virtuous by the false lights of a fallen and depraved culture. And this happens with individuals. This happens with groups. This happens even to those professing to be the Church of Jesus Christ. They fall away and they become, as our confession says, synagogues of Satan. They are no longer true churches at all. This is very different from a true church that is yet very corrupt and messed up, but still part of the true church of Jesus Christ. What do they get? Well, they get, as I said, the applause of the world. They get the respect and they get the honor of the world. They are thought to be cool. They are thought to be hip. They are thought to be, as I said, virtuous, with the utterly wrong standards of what is virtue and what is evil. They get the admiration, maybe, of the powerful and the trendy. And they get all the perks of power. That's what they get in this world. They may even get, so to speak, the whole world. They may have the world on a string, as an old song goes. You know, like kids, I don't know how many of you play with yo-yos nowadays. You've got it there on the end of the string and you control it, right? And you may think, you may to some extent have that with the world. But this world is ending. This life is ending. How shall you fare? How shall you do before the ruler of all, the righteous God of all? Because you must come before that God. And from him, you will receive something. If you've denied Jesus Christ and ultimately made yourself as God, destruction is your portion. You shall hear words that Jesus spoke right there in Matthew 7. Words that we already heard from verses 21 through 23. Never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Get out of here. Go to hell. We hear some people sometimes say that profanely. We think, oh, that's rude. When Jesus says it, it will not be rude, nor will it be profane. It will be terrifying. It will be horrifying. what if you have strayed? What if you, by your sin, have denied Jesus Christ? Is there hope for you? Yes. Your life's not over yet, is it? You're sitting here, your heart's beating, your lungs are breathing, you know, your brain's functioning. Maybe it's thinking about something funny you saw on Instagram a while back. I don't know. But I want you to pay attention right now. There is hope for you, for even the vilest, nastiest, most foolish, most persistent sinner may come to Christ. You may end your denial and confess in Him, for He receives sinners. Some of you folks have children who are not walking after Christ too. There is hope for them too. They've denied for a time. Thankfully, we don't know that they are final deniers. Continue to pray for them. Continue to claim God's covenant promise. I will be a God to you and your seed after you. Continue to work before the throne of God for them. Who knows? They may yet come. Hezekiah, I am sure, prayed for his son Manasseh, who was to come to the throne, and a viler, nastier, more wicked man never ruled over the people of God. But in his old age, God brought him to himself, back to himself. God used hardship to bring the king of Judah to faith in a coming Savior. And he got rid of the Baals. He got rid of the other idols. He got rid of everything. He'd made a mess, sadly, of his son Ammon, but he had time, as I've explained before, with his little grandson to point him to the God that he'd only come to know late in life. And Josiah was probably the most godly king, bar none, even more so than David, that ever reigned over the people of God. So it's not too late. But let me tell you right now, for those of you, if there be any here who have strayed, thinking of moving along and leaving Jesus behind, you don't have forever to turn around. Come to Jesus now. Call upon Him to save you from your sin. Begin living and confessing in Him. He will then hold on to you. He will then keep you. He will then confess in you at the time of judgment. Amen.